Blog Talk Radio.
Carol the Coach. Sex, love, and relationships. We talk about it here.
Carol the Coach. Compassion with contemporary relevance.
I am a psychotherapist. I can be your personal life coach, and I can help you with your issues. There are no problems too small or too big. You can talk about anything.
Speaker, columnist, radio TV host, and commentator. Carol the Coach brings messages of wellness and empowerment within reach of everyday people every day.
Almost 5 years ago, I lost my soulmate in an accident. He was killed in a plane crash. Life just for me has seemed to stop.
There are groups all over the city. I mean, I teach one. It is a specific way to start thinking so that you shift how you see the world, which then shifts your energy, and then you feel better and you actually see things differently.
Carol the Coach. Always available to at carolthecoach.com.
Now, I've got Russell on the line.
I'm 47 years old. I'm a truck driver. I am married. I have a wife in San Francisco.
Okay.
I haven't been home in 6 months. My thing is, I don't know if I have a sex addiction or what the problem is. Why do I want what I can't have? And as soon as I can have it, I don't want it anymore.
You're right on target when you say, I don't know if I have a sexual addiction. Well, guess what? Yes, you do. And you know what? That's my specialty, Russell. So you're at the right place. Continue.
I meet women online, and I'm in a different part of the country. I travel all 48 states, so I love sex.
I hear self-esteem issues. You never felt good enough, and you didn't feel like you were getting what you should have then, and you're reenacting that now. Do you want to change that about yourself?
And that's the question. Is it possible that you are looking at your own addiction and saying, am I ready to change? Well, hi there. I am Carol the Coach, and I'm here to help you with your sexual addiction. And I got to tell you, it's not something you can do on your own. And so if you've been trying for a while, I understand that. That is a normal and natural process to want to do it on your own and to think that, yes, I can. I don't have to look at porn. I don't have to see prostitutes. I don't have to voyeur. I don't have to have an exhibitionist episode. You know, there's all types of sexual addiction. And certainly, this is getting more PR because multiple infidelity and pornography seem to be more and more prevalent in today's society, in part because it's affordable. At least the pornography is typically free. It's accessible. And you can go to the internet and not only, as you well know, look at anything online, but you can also contact people online at the drop of a dime. So it's affordable, it's accessible, and it's anonymous. And when you have those three things working against you, you're going to have the fourth A, and that's addiction. And I'm going to encourage you to go to my website, www.sexhelpwithcarolthecoach.com. And take a look at that website. I'm going to be revamping it over the holidays. You know, it's the first website I ever created. Now, if you want to look at a more professional website, you got to go to www.carolthecoach.com. I have been a life coach and a psychotherapist for years and years and years. And I took it on to learn about sexual addiction because what I know to be true is that this is a field, this is an area that a normal counselor who's very skilled is not able to get to the root of the problem or the resources that you need to know if you believe you have a sexual addiction. So I got my certification, and I got it from Patrick Carnes. And through ITAP, which is the only international institute for addictions and educational learning. And I have decided that I am going to spread the word. To my knowledge, I'm the only sexual addiction talk show on the internet. And so I feel very honored and humbled to be able to provide you with some education and certainly the experts. Now, last week we talked to John and Elaine Leadham, wonderful folks from New Jersey who have also made it their mission not only to help individuals but to help couples. And I talked to you about the fact that they wrote One in the Spirit, a meditation course for the recovering couples. And they did a great job. This week, guess what? I couldn't get anybody. You know, it's the holidays. And so I said, okay, guys, you are going to have to listen to me. But I tell you what, I've been doing this for 3 or 4 years now. And I got to say that although that's a short amount of time in the field of psychotherapy, I am so much better at this because there's so much predictability with this addiction. There are so many signs that I see that direct me to the very next resource that you may need. And so I feel honored and privileged to be working with you all. If you're listening to the show through iTunes, and I'm sure you are, you can get it by going to www.itunes and then put in sexual addiction or sex addiction with Carol the Coach, or Hope, Strength, and Recovery with Carol the Coach. And that will take you to all my shows. You can download them all and get the help that you need. Now, I am encouraging you to give me a call because tonight is an email and phone call show. I'm taking your calls at 646-595-3284. And although a lot of people download this at a later date, and of course then they can't call live because it has been recorded and stored for them, I'm encouraging you, if you are listening on the line, please, if you have any questions at all, nobody but sex addicts are already tuned into this show, so you don't have to worry about your anonymity, and you don't have to use a name, and if you want to use a name, you can use a fake name. All I care about is that I answer your questions. So again, that number is 646-595-3284. And you're always welcome to email me at carolthecoach@aol.com. So the phone lines are open. I want to speak with you. And I'm hoping that I will not be the only one on this show tonight. I mean, I got plenty to talk about, but I really want to talk to you. This is not something you need to feel ashamed of. So I'm encouraging you to utilize me as a free psychotherapist and certified sexual addictions therapist to help you with your issue, free of charge. Come on now. I charge $140 an hour. You might as well check in with me. So again, that number is 646-595-3284, and the lines are wide open. So while you're getting the nerve to call, and I know you're thinking about it, I don't want you to hesitate. I'm going to begin to read an email. If you call in during that time, we'll just put this email down. We'll go to your call, and then we'll wrap this up, this email, when the lines are empty. So I've had this correspondent, I've had this listener who has called, well, he hasn't called, I'm sorry, he's emailed me now for 4 straight weeks, and he's been sharing his issues, and he's been talking more and more and more about what's going on in his life. And if you remember Sam from a while back, he basically said he had a great relationship with his wife. He was a Christian man. But he was getting on chat rooms, and he was talking to people. So this week he says to me, "Hi, Carol. Thanks for reading my second letter on your show. Talking about it was really helpful and thought-provoking. I wanted to tell you about my spiritual life. It was one of the questions you had for me. My wife and I are very spiritual. We're committed to our faith, and we go to church every single week. We pray together as a family 2 to 3 times a day. That even includes the older ones when they come home from college. Actually, the last 2 times I tried to quit this addiction, It was from a feeling that I got sitting in church. Well, I'm not surprised because, you know, when we get really quiet, that is when our indiscretions, our bad choices, our sins, whatever, begin to weigh heavy on our heart. And so I'm not surprised that he was sitting in church and he was quiet and he was reflecting and he started being convicted, so to speak. He said, the last time I wrote you, I was on the road to recovery. I had deleted my online account, was doing pretty good. Unfortunately, like all the times before, I had a relapse. And the trigger that got me back to the addiction was so small, it was just a glance of a pretty woman. Now, what he's talking about there is objectifying. And when you objectify men or women, depending on your sex, depending on your interest, that means that you look at a woman and you begin to fantasize, or a man, but let's talk about Sam here. You look at a woman, you begin to fantasize what that would be like if you were to have sex. And you may fantasize sexual activity, sexual positions, sexual thoughts, sexual requests. And so your vision goes from looking at that person to seeing them as a sexual object, a.k.a. sexual objectification. Now, he says, and as you talked about before, the addiction is never satisfied from where it was before. And that's what's happened to me. My addiction had already escalated to chatting. You know, this was a man that said he didn't cheat, but he talks then about chatting, webcamming, and strip clubs. The last time it took a step further, I met a woman in a chat room that lived in the same town that I did, and we agreed to meet. And the truth of the matter is, I had zero physical attraction to this woman. In fact, I would say that she was grotesque to me. I cannot explain why I was so excited to meet her, but then, thank God, I woke up before we ever met. So I made the decision that I needed to quit. Yes, again. Well, obviously, this is a good man who has a good sense of conscience, but he's participating in activities that will 100% progress. Sam, I promise you, this is going to get worse and worse and worse, and you are going to cheat on your wife. And you said you felt she was grotesque, but I got to tell you, so many of the women that I've talked to that have found out about their husband's affairs, prostitutes, sexting, texting, webcamming, they see the woman and they realize how much prettier, how much more attractive they are, and they go, what is the real attraction here? Because so much of sexual addiction is not at all about being with a Miss America. It's about participating in activities that are illicit, that are risky, that are immoral, that are that violate your own sense of integrity. So he says, thank God I woke up before we met, and he decided to quit again. Then, as one might expect, he got back in the chat room, and he changed his profile to say that he had a sex addiction and he needed help and he wanted prayers. He also sent that message to every woman on the website, and 99% of the resources that he got were from women that agreed to pray for him. He states, there are a lot of good people in the world. Even in these chat rooms, a number of the women offered to help, and so I started chatting with them to see how they could help me. Their advice and prayer seemed to really help. So I set up a way to communicate with these five women outside of the nasty chat room. And actually, one of them helped me delete my chat room account because I couldn't do it on my own family computer. Now, if this sounds like you, I'm going to encourage you to call me at 646-595-3284. Let's talk about your situation. Maybe you're like Sam. Maybe you have promised yourself that you would quit. And you promised and you promised and you promised. And you keep breaking your own promise. And you can't figure out why. You really mean to. Your intention is to stop. I can tell that Sam's intention is to stop. Now, he's fooling himself here. He said he got, you know, in that chat room and he asked everybody for prayers and there were people that were contacting him. But I'm telling you, if these women are on the chat room, they too are probably in a sexual addiction. So this is a way to make contact, to kind of fool the addict and say, see, I'm just taking care of myself. I just want to do what's right. And then before you know it, it starts all over again. Now he says, these women prayed with me. They prayed for me and they helped me talk. I'm sorry. And they helped talk me down when I had inappropriate urges, to give me ideas to make my marriage stronger and better and how to focus more on my family and not on my addiction. Now, granted, I know on the surface, this sounds like a really bad idea. Yes, Sam, it does. You are creating an emotional intimacy with other women, and that should be with your wife. And you and I have talked via email about the need for emotional intimacy. Because you said to me, Sam, in a previous correspondence, you said, I know you said that sexual addiction is an intimacy disorder. And it isn't going to get any better if you're talking to other women about intimacy and you're not talking with your wife. He said, but if you were to read everything they have written me, you would be very impressed with how prayerful and helpful they're trying to be. In many ways, they are my sponsor. For example, yesterday one of the women told me I needed to get on my knees and pray to God to remove my sexual desires. So I said, okay, and I went and I found a place that I could kneel down and pray, just like she said. And that's what I did. Now, Sam, hear me now. I hope that I'm sounding more authoritative. And because I always say, you know, we need to speak with authority. We don't need to yell. We don't need to put down anybody. But, Sam, I'm telling you this right now. These women are not your sponsor. Now, what Sam's referencing is in sexual addiction, we encourage people to go to SA, Sex Anonymous, or SAA, Sexual Addiction Anonymous, and go to 12-step meetings and work the steps. They're all over the country. They're all over the world. They're free. And not only do you find a group and a meeting and you share your circumstances, or not, you don't have to, you can just listen, but you also get a sponsor and you start reading literature and you start working the steps and you change your life. You change your character flaws. You start letting go of the past pain, of the inequities and injustices in your life. You make your life better, and then you service other people by being their sponsor, by contributing in healthy ways. And it's an incredible, incredible process by which you redesign and redevelop yourself. Okay, so when he says these women are his sponsors, I've got to question that. First of all, as a man, you can't have a woman sponsor. Second of all, the only sponsor that you can really have is somebody who participates in the 12-step program. Don't fool yourself. You're creating, you're justifying, you're rationalizing a reason to have more contact with these women. He then says, So you have recommended to me a number of times to go find a certified sex therapist and get myself into a 12-step program. He says, I am just not ready for that for a number of reasons. As I've told you before, I don't want my wife to find out that I'm trying to stop or even know that I was doing anything that I had to stop. Uh-huh. Yep, it's time for you to face your fear, Sam, and go into one of those meetings. Now, I told Sam he could even get on a telephone call and participate in these online groups via the telephone, although that's not what I recommend. I only really recommend that for people that don't have SA or SAA in their city. I want you to do face-to-face. And Sam is like fighting me tooth and nail. Sam, I got to tell you, if I were your therapist right now, I would tell you, if I can be so bold, and I know you're a Christian man, that you are really full of a lot of bull. You have a good heart, but you're not willing to do the work you need to get rid of this addiction. And this addiction's going to get worse. And you are. You're using a bunch of defense mechanisms to rationalize your behavior. And I'm not buying it, and I'm not accepting it, and I'm not going to in any way sanction what you're doing. Because what you're doing is wrong. It's wrong for your marriage, and it's certainly wrong for your sexual addiction. You're not going to get better, Sam. So get a clue and start following my advice. Get yourself to a 12-step meeting. Get yourself to a sponsor. Look on www.sexhelp.com and find a certified sexual addiction therapist in your area. And if you can't, there are plenty of us at Skype. We'll talk to you. We'll get you on the road. We'll get you to the right materials, and we'll get you going. We won't do therapy with you, but we'll certainly meet with you 3, 4, 5 times to get you going in the right direction. So, okay, what are your other excuses for not getting the help that you need? Well, you say you're afraid that your wife will find out, and it would be difficult for you to hide payments for treatment, and it would be very hard to hide the time to go, and to be totally honest, you say, I really have no desire, and it somewhat makes me sick to my stomach to think about meeting with a bunch of men to talk about these problems that we have. I totally understand how that works and how powerful that could be, but I just don't have any desire to be part of it. I'm trying to figure out how to do it on my own, but as you will point out, I have not been successful to this point. Yes, that's exactly right, Sam. That's exactly what I would point out. When are you going to take my advice? I have given you hundreds of dollars worth of advice, and you're not taking it, and it's not getting any better. Sam, you are still in the denial process. That is the number one step of therapy that I work with people on. The first thing I do is I say, okay, I got to break through your denial. That's number one. Number two, I have to teach you about addiction. I do believe you're learning about addiction. You know, you're reciting it in your emails. I do believe you get addiction, but because your denial is so strong, you're forgetting that you're not going to get healthy until you do the right things. You can't do this on your own. You need to surrender, and by surrender, I mean you're a Christian man. You need to surrender to a higher power, and that is what the 12 steps is about. How dare you say that it makes you sick to your stomach that you're talking you would be talking to a group of men. These men are just like you, and there is nothing wrong with men just like you. They're all there to get healthy. Sam, you need to surrender. And then you need to limit your damage. Every day you go on with this, you're creating more distance with your wife. You're fooling her, you're lying to her, and you're conning her, and that is not fair. That's not fair to you, it's not fair to her, and it is absolutely not fair to the relationship. So, Sam, trust me here. You're not establishing sobriety, there is no integrity in your life, and you certainly aren't developing a culture of support. So you are going to get worse and worse and worse. and why you won't get help now, why you're going to wait until she does find out, or until you do get a sexual disease, or until you have had several affairs. And I promise you, this disease gets worse. You're not just going to stop where you're at. Okay. As of today, I have been clean for 9 days. Okay, and that's a while back. That was probably about 5 days ago. I have been, there have been no chat rooms, no thoughts of masturbation, no lustful glances in the store. I've had a number of temptations. But then Sam says, oh, Sam, but my sponsors have helped me stay away from that. Sam, don't call them sponsors. Call them girlfriends. Call them female friends. Call them women friends. They're not sponsors. So don't call them sponsors. That's an insult to the program. Now, Sam says, something I realized after listening to one of your last shows is, you talked about the addiction to the habit, not necessarily the sex act. Now, what he's referencing is I said sometimes men and women are actually addicted to the ritual of the things that they do to prepare for the actual acting out. You know, I have a woman who talks about how much she loves putting on her makeup and getting ready to meet men. I have a man who says, I love having a couple of drinks before I act out, and the clang of the ice just is absolutely sexually exciting. That doesn't mean he gets a hard-on or he masturbates at that point, but it means it's all part of the process that begins to really stimulate and escalate the sexual addiction. Sam says, and as I'm chatting with these women, I realize that I may be more addicted to just chatting than the sex part of chatting. I think I've discovered an unhealthy desire for chatting, even if it's chatting about prayerful things. So I'm to start working on not chatting as much with these women, only when I really need them, and not checking my phone all the time. However, I am pleased that today I am worried about chatting with women about praying. Now, you know, he's kind of right and he's kind of wrong here, because he does have an awareness, and that's the beginning of change. But he makes the comment that he's only going to chat with them when he really needs their prayers, which is the excuse he's going to tell himself to keep the contact going. As a matter of fact, the addict is sitting inside of him just laughing out loud, because the addict says, great, now you always will have a reason to talk to these women, because I'll just stimulate you and I'll make you think of things, and then you'll think to call them and you'll start the whole process going. So Sam says, I am pleased that today I'm worried about chatting with women about praying versus adult chat room chatting. Yeah, there is a difference there, but I'm telling you, they're both wrong. So all that background brings me to the question I have for you, Carol. You have talked about sexual addiction, and you said it is normally accompanied with intimacy issues. I have told you that I didn't think I had any intimacy issues, and you have point blank said yes, you do. So I guess I realized that I really don't know what that means to have intimacy issues. And what are some examples of some things you've had people try to improve their intimacy issues? Well, Sam, that is a great question. Absolutely great. So when we come back from the break, I'm going to talk to you about what intimacy issues are and what you can do to develop intimacy with your spouse. But I must tell you ahead of time, you can't have intimacy if you're lying and hiding basic information about you to your partner. So that's the precursor to what are some intimacy issues and how can I develop more intimacy with my partner. You're listening to Sex Help with Carol the Coach. And again, put this number in your phone so that you can give me a call. 646-595-3284.
Carol the Coach. Sex, love, and relationships. We talk about it here.
Carol the Coach. Compassion with contemporary relevance.
I am a psychotherapist. I can be your personal life coach, and I can help you with your issues. There are no problems too small or too big. You can talk about anything.
Speaker, columnist, radio TV host, and commentator. Carol the Coach brings messages of wellness and empowerment within reach of everyday people. Every day.
Almost 5 years ago, I lost my soulmate in an accident. He was killed in a plane crash. Life just for me has seemed to stop.
There are groups all over the city. I mean, I teach one. It is a specific way to start thinking so that you shift how you see the world, which then shifts your energy, and then you feel better and you actually see things differently.
Carol the Coach. Always available to at carolthecoach.com.
Now, I've got Russell on the line.
I'm 47 years old. I'm a truck driver. I'm married. I have a wife in San Francisco.
Okay.
I haven't been home in 6 months. My thing is, I don't know if I have a sex addiction or what the problem is. Why do I want what I can't have? And as soon as I can have it, I don't want it anymore.
You're right on target when you say, I don't know if I have a sexual addiction. Well, guess what? Yes, you do. And you know what? That's my specialty, Russell, so you're at the right place. Continue.
I meet women online, and I'm in a different part of the country. I travel all 48 states, so I love sex.
I hear self-esteem issues. You never felt good enough, and you didn't feel like you were getting what you should have then, and you're reenacting that now. Do you want to change that about yourself? I got an interesting email this week. He says, thank you for taking my email in question. My girlfriend and I listen to you on the radio, and she respects your opinion as I do. So here's the question. I've been separated for 9 months. I'm working on a divorce. Is it okay to date? I believe it is. But she's not comfortable with being around people who know my divorce is not final. Can you help? He kind of answered it when he said, if she's not comfortable, it's not a good gig. And Pat, you have some questions about dating?
I am 58 years old, and I've been divorced for years. I was watching the Oprah show the other day, and they were talking about...
They were talking about sexual desire.
How does that factor in if you're after menopause?
Obviously, being postmenopausal, you know, you aren't going to have the same pheromones, but then the men you're probably going to be dating, they're not going to have that need to mate with you, for children. How do you feel
Pat, about taking the risk to date? Hi, I'm Carol the Coach, and I got to tell you, I get a lot of different calls about a lot of sexual issues, and this show is specifically designed for sexual addiction. And obviously, Pat doesn't have an issue with sexual addiction. She's just trying to get back in the dating realm. And Russell does have a sexual addiction. You heard him saying, you know, why is it that I want what I can't have? And then if you heard Sam's letter, you know that Sam is at a point in his life where he really wants to understand, what is intimacy? Does he have it? And if he doesn't, what can he do to develop more intimacy in his life? And so, you know, I kind of like that. I mean, he's looking at what is really underneath his behaviors. And I guarantee you, it is not his wife's responsibility to fill the void that he may feel in his own life. But truly, I know that there's a reason that Sam has intimacy issues, and he's getting it met through these women in a chat room. And whether they're praying for him, whether texting, sexting, or as he says, doing the nasty talk, he is not able to stay away from chatting for long periods of time. So, okay, here's the deal. What is an intimacy disorder? An intimacy disorder is when you have trouble being your real self with your partner. You actually have trouble being close. And when I say close, okay, so yeah, you head to a movie, you've had a great dinner, you have sex, and you feel really close. But the next day you get up and you feel like there's either a wounded soul inside of you, or it feels like there is something missing in your life. Well, if you can be honest with your partner, if you can be vulnerable, when you hide nothing, you share everything with your partner without any fear of retribution, of exposure, you know, of criticism to some degree, that is truly emotional intimacy. And I get that anybody who's got a sexual addiction is, of course, going to be afraid of sharing what's going on with them, because their partner is understandably going to be upset. But once you get over there, here's what I know to be true, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, that partners will more often not hang in there with you. Okay, yes, they get very angry, and they punish you, and they're so hurt, and they're protecting themselves, and they yell, and they scream, and they don't trust, and they interrogate, and they investigate, and I know that sounds like ugly stuff, but that goes away. And while that's occurring, you need to simultaneously have the courage to be honest. You have to simultaneously get the support you need from people that get the problem. And you have to be honest enough to restructure your life in such a way that you no longer have the room for sexual addiction. You know, Patrick Carnes talks about retraining the brain. And he says, you know, once you've developed the addiction, what ends up transpiring is that you no longer have a brain that thinks straight. You will always default to that addict because it's easier. It has more immediate gratification. It has much more of a pleasure component, at least initially. And what you need to do is substitute those things with an incredible culture of support, the 12-step program, with therapists that know how to make you healthier. You need to be able to face your fears head on and decide what is it you're looking for from other people and find healthy ways to get it. Now, that takes a long time. And unfortunately, the average amount of time that takes is 3 to 5 years. You know, and I am so sorry to tell you that the bad news is this is a real investment in you. The good news is that you will come out a better person for it. I mean, the men that I see in my sexual addictions group, they are incredible men. They're better husbands than the majority of husbands out there. They are working with their wives. They're being honest. But, you know, it's hard to know when do you save some information for your sponsor versus when do you tell your wife? And that's where the 12-step groups really, really help. Now, most people that have an addiction, they bargain with the chaos. You know, the bargain starts with a choice to be better, happier, more tolerable, or more rewarding. And this is what Sam's doing. The initial choice is an impulse or maybe even an experiment. Could you hear it in his email? He's like, I'm not going to talk to those women much unless I really, really need them. Then there's typically a trade-off. Almost always, there's a shortcut or a temporary reward which appears to have little or no immediate impact. Indulging the impulse is worth whatever consequence might occur. The bargain is, if I do this now, I will deal with problems later, maybe. And it's that maybe that keeps the addict active. Now, denial is always part of the bargain with chaos. Usually, there'll be important realities that are overlooked, dismissed, or postponed. Like Sam, he says, hey, these women pray with me. He isn't realizing that he's cheating on his wife when he's having emotional intimacy with other women. Belief one can control the impulse leads to secretive or hidden behavior. No one knows erodes transparency and integrity issues, so bargains can be made. And I can't tell you how many men have said to me, I want to be transparent. I'm tired of having two or three personalities. Impulsivity. Patrick Carn says that our brain circuitry becomes altered as we choose behaviors that make us feel good. The behavior becomes repetitive or habitual. And oftentimes that impulsivity turns into compulsivity, which means that the brain has rewired itself so that the behavior is no longer an option and it becomes an automatic, sustained, risky behavior to meet the created need. The brain adjusts to maintain levels of stimulation, reward, or stress. It's kind of like your set point. Compulsivity is the dark side. If impulsivity gets to the point where the obsession is the catalyst. Okay, so we start out with this choice, and then we make trade-offs, and then there's this huge denial, and then the impulsivity begins, and then that turns compulsive, and then it becomes an obsession. An obsession is a preoccupation, and that preoccupation is the principal factor in maintaining the brain circuitry at the level required. You know, unfortunately, the addiction threshold is definitely passed, and obsession intensifies delusion and thought errors, which makes costs and consequences tolerable. So, you know, someday Sam's wife is going to find out that he's been chatting. She'll either find the chats, she'll see the websites, or he will end up meeting one of these women, and they'll end up having a full-blown affair. So then, after you look at the obsession, you have to ask yourself, what are the costs? Well, you know, costs can be anything. They compound in unexpected ways. And, you know, he could lose his wife. He could be kicked out of his church. He could feel suicidal. He could feel that, well, he already feels the shame, but the shame could really intensify. And so what you do to offset this is that you create and restructure a relationship with yourself. And, you know, one of my clients actually came up with this incredible 4-point formula, and I'm a bullet girl. I always think of life in bullets. You've heard me say that the three keys to happiness are staying in the moment, having gratitude, and reframing anything that makes you feel helpless. Well, one of my clients had this great 4-point bullet for decision making. He said, first of all, I want you to think of the four C's. He says, think about Christ. When you think about Christ, you will have a consciousness. And that consciousness, when connected to Christ, will lead you in the right direction. When it's not necessarily Christ-centered, it may be ego-centered, which will create negative consequences. Maybe you eat too much, maybe you're drinking too much, maybe you smoke or you use drugs or you're cheating on your taxes. Whenever it's ego-based, we more than likely will have negative consequences. And when we have negative consequences, that's because we've made poor choices. So the actual formula goes Christ, consciousness, choices, consequences. If you make good choices, you have different consequences than if you make bad choices. And so Patrick Carnes very clearly says that when you restructure yourself, you do so by making healthy choices, by challenging yourself to create positive intentionality, to be mindful of what you're doing at all times, and to focus on what is healthy. Because then you'll have benefits. Benefits that build your sense of self, your sense of resilience, and your sense of self-esteem. All right, well, that is a little bit of the show for tonight. I so appreciate you hanging out with me every Monday night at 9 o'clock, or if you download the show, I appreciate when you listen to me, maybe when you're out mowing the grass or, you know, shoveling snow or exercising. I listen personally. I believe in inspiration and education. And so I got to tell you, actually I have told you before, that every morning I get up and after I get my breakfast ready and my coffee going, I go and I read something inspirational. Now, I encourage addicts to do their recovery work. And that may be reading Out of the Shadows or doing the workbook, Facing the Shadows, or doing the Recovery Zone. So that you can make changes that last. Then I exercise. And when I exercise, I mean, this weekend I was cleaning out my closet. I was listening to Patrick Carnes. This morning I was exercising and I was listening to Wayne Dyer. Very, very helpful. In part because I need motivation in my life. I need to feel good. And so when I hear what other people are doing, I realize that what I'm reminded that I can achieve anything by using my mind, by seeking support, by having an action plan, I am much more empowered and powerful. And I want to tell you all that anybody who's listening to this show has that available to them. But you can't do it on your own. You have to get good therapy. You have to go to a support group. You have to get a sponsor. You have to do the readings. And you have to restructure your life to support the new changes you're making. So, I will see you next week. And as I say at the end of every show, there will only be one of you at all times, so fearlessly have the courage to be yourself. If you are part of a support group, I'd love for you to tell other people about the show. I'd love to get callers. I don't know what's going on. I just think people are afraid to call. I think I said a couple weeks ago, the stats show I have over 8,000 listeners, so I feel really good about that. And they're downloading the show, so I really encourage you to call. Use me as your own personal therapist. Send me emails. You can do that again to carolthecoach@aol.com. Get on my website. either my website, www.carolthecoach.com, where I have podcasts, I have blogs, all sorts of information, or my www.sexhelpwithcarolthecoach.com, specifically set up for anybody who has an issue with sexual addiction. You have a great week, and I'll talk to you soon.